Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another day of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. We're making our way through this season of Advent, very, very special time of the year. And I hope, friends, with all that's going on, and, you know, with the continued battling of COVID-19, the political struggles in our country, the struggles within the church, the divisions within the church, there's lots there that can cause and does cause people in our lives, but also just discouragement. It's challenging. It creates anxiety and fear in people's lives. And Jesus knows that. I mean, he knows what's going on. Everything's in the palm of his hands. And he wants our lives, even in the midst of whatever circumstance we have, and it can seem nearly impossible from the position that we're in at times, to think that we can rise above somehow the circumstances that are pressing in on us so significantly, and the fear of what the unknowns that are in the future. And there's just a lot going on with us. And the Lord is here to tell us, look, I told you, you know, in this life, you're going to have tribulations, you're going to have difficulties. But the thing that I want you to know is that I'm with you always. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And he wants us in the midst of these challenging times. And this is where faith gets tested and where faith can really grow. And remember, faith isn't just a matter of our exercising our sheer willpower. Jesus isn't in heaven saying, just try harder, you know, be like the old Avis commercials. Just try harder. That's not what is at the foundation of faith. The foundation of faith is what we've seen the last couple of days, the gospel reading from Monday, the story of the friends of the paralyzed man who do whatever they could do to bring their friend to the feet of Jesus. And they show up at where Jesus is speaking, and there's a big crowd there. They can't get their friend there, and they just said, look, we're going to find a way, because what we need to do is just get him in the presence of Jesus. It says they want to put him in Jesus's presence. That's where we want to be, in the presence of Jesus. And they removed every obstacle. They pulled him all the way up onto the roof and lift the tiles off the roof and then let him down at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus was so moved by the faith of these men. It's one of the great lessons this week that we're drawing, that's common thread through the readings, is a belief that Jesus is who he says he is, and not just an intellectual assent, that's an important piece of it, but an abandonment of our lives in trust. Like, really, those guys took action. They didn't just sit back and say, he really is who he says he is. They said, not only is he who he says he is, but that means he's got the power to heal our friend. That means he's got the power they came to see to forgive sins. And as they went to Jesus in faith, as they acted on their faith, and Jesus pointed it out that he was impressed by their faith. He was moved by their faith. And throughout the New Testament, throughout the whole story of Christianity, God loves faith. He loves being trusted. He loves it when we lean on him in such a way, in his promises and his word, that we lean on him in such a way that if he wasn't there, we'd fall flat on our face. You know, the famous image of Peter getting out of the boat on Jesus' command. If Peter stayed in the boat, it was safe. It was secure. He could see Jesus out there in the water. He could affirm Jesus. He could just say, I'm going to stay right here. Jesus, I believe you. You know, but Jesus said, come on his command. And Peter stood up and did something that made no sense to him, especially as a fisherman. He's going to step out of the boat and walk on water. Well, what happened was, there's a lesson there. One of the lessons really is that faith is a movement toward Christ. It's a decision to turning to him. And at the foundation of it, as he said, it's what he did for the paralytic, it's receiving the forgiveness of sins as we come to him. He wants to take our sins away. He wants us to come to him so he can take away the burden of sin and bring us into new life and relationship with him. But that faith is movement, surrender, trust, living on the promises of Jesus, living a life that bets everything on who he is and who he said he was, right? And then, of course, Our Lady, be it done unto me according to thy word, we celebrated yesterday with the Immaculate Conception. And today, we're getting a good look at both from the, well, all three readings today, but I want to emphasize a little bit the Psalms, which I don't do very often, because they're always just so full of great truth and what we're meant to, how we're meant to live and how to express ourselves in relationship to God and to rejoice in who he is. And then I want to just mention a few words about the gospel. Psalm 103, as it reads in today in the readings, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my being, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." What a wonderful thing for us to be able to do at the start of each day is to begin by blessing the Lord and not looking at the circumstances of our lives as the definitive reality that defines who we are. We're going to, in a fallen world, friends, live through some real trials and real difficulties and some really scary moments. And the one who's conquered it all, the one who ultimately has laid hold of us, and he's bringing us home to the Lord, to bring us home to the kingdom of the Father in a nanosecond. It's going to go by just like that, friends. We'll be home. And it's clear, he said, nothing will separate us from the love of God. That's something to bless him for, and to bless his holy name, and to give thanks and never forget all of his benefits. It's such a important thing when we're surrounded by negativity and fear and anxiety to just start declaring those benefits. And if we've forgotten them, take some time to sit down and to write down the benefits of what it means to be in a relationship with God, beginning with salvation and having our sins forgiven, being a temple of the Holy Spirit, being in his body, being able to receive the sacramental life that he's bestowed on us in the church, to live in union with him, to be moving and living in the power of the Holy Spirit, just the many blessings he's given us, life and breath. The psalm goes on, he pardons all our iniquities. He heals all your ills. He redeems your life from destruction, and he crowns you with kindness and compassion. And yesterday, as we celebrated the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, I mentioned the assumption that the Lord crowned his mother, right? Her yes, she was a faithful disciple. She was the first, really, and he exalted her, and she walked in humility and obedience no matter what she lived through, even through the passion of her son. She entrusted herself to God, and she knew, and she magnified the Lord with all her heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he pardons our iniquities, and it's good for us to internalize that. There's something to thank him for and never forget. He's come not to condemn you. He's come to save you. He doesn't approach you each day like, oh goodness, you know, here we go again. You know, sometimes we relate to God, the paradigm, and he wants, with the help of the Holy Spirit, for us to change this so we have an experience internally of being his children and knowing that we can say, Abba, Father, and it really is love, that he always looks at us in that way. But we, because we get stuck on our weaknesses and our sins and our failings, the first thing we think about and we tend to stay in as we're approaching God is our sinfulness, and we end up thinking he's either mad at us, he's sad at us, he's disappointed in us in some way, and that causes us to turn away, to back away, like Adam and Eve in the garden because of shame. And Jesus is saying, I've come to take away your shame. 70 times, 7 times a day, you can come to me. Doesn't mean he's light on sin, like he doesn't care about it. He cares about it a lot. And he wants to teach us to not walk in sin at all. And the saints are living examples of that. But he's come to redeem us, to take us back, to redeem our lives from destruction, and to crown us, just like he crowned his mother, crowned us with kindness. He's merciful and gracious, and he's slow to anger, and he's abounding in kindness. That's who he is, and that's who he is toward you. He doesn't come at you in anger. He comes at you as a loving father who's come to save you, and he knows your frame, your weak and broken condition, and he wants to lift you. And he does not remember you, deal with you according to your sins, the psalm says. Does he deal with us? Nor does he requite us according to our crimes. He doesn't look at you through the prism of sin. The gospel reading today is very short, but powerful. Jesus said to the crowds, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Isn't that something? It's what we need to hear. Right now, friends, with all the troubles and all the circumstances and all the things to worry about, this is Jesus speaking directly to you. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. This is a promise. He knows our burden. He said, if you come to me, what I will do is I'll teach you to take my yoke upon you, the reading says, and you can learn from me. I mean, what's the yoke of the Lord? Well, the yoke that Jesus is carrying right now is the yoke of absolute glory at the Father's right hand, total victory over all these things, these circumstances of life that will never finally have claim over us, that our life is headed toward what we see in Jesus, absolute, total reigning in glory at the right hand of God with Jesus and entering a new life and a new creation. So he said, take my yoke upon you now, learn from me. I'm meek and I'm humble of heart. This is the only place in the Gospels where Jesus makes a point of talking about the characteristics of who he is internally. I'm meek. It doesn't mean he's a pushover. What it means is that his strength, that is all that the Father's given to him and all his gifts, talents, everything is literally ordered under the commandment of love of God and neighbor. And his strength is directed toward first trusting God the Father, but also moving and summoning those strengths and exercising them under the control of the Spirit of God in the exercise of love of God and love of neighbor. As Jesus goes forth to establish his Father's kingdom and to bring the heart of the humility of Jesus, the character of Jesus, the meekness, Jesus goes on to say, and you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So here's a promise from the one who never lies. He's saying to you today, you're stressed at home with your children. You're stressed about work. You're stressed about health. You're stressed about family. You're stressed about faith. Your kids leaving, whatever it is that you're stressed by, that you're burdened by. Jesus is saying, I'm coming. I'm here. You come to me and I will lift that burden. I will teach you the power that's in me, and I will teach you to walk in meekness and humility. And that comes from, and Jesus's yoke comes from, ultimately from trusting the Father. Nothing was too heavy for Jesus to bear because there was something deeper in him, an absolute trust. Trust in his Father's love, trust in his Father's word, trust that the Father had, no matter what was happening to him, everything was under his control and everything was according to his will. So Jesus, even as the passion began, he embraced it deeper and deeper, the obedience and the humility, and said, trusted the Father. The circumstances won't have the final say. Romans won't. The Jewish leaders won't, who are angry at him. Nobody has the final say but my Father. And I'm totally trustworthy. And this doesn't come to me. This challenge doesn't happen to me without my Father permitting it. And so I trust in him. We say now the exact same thing Jesus said, as we bring our burdens to him and we can learn to carry his yoke. God bless you, brothers and sisters. Hope to see you tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.